next on the 5 o'clock report.
I'm not going to make that mistake again.
That changed the moment we took office.
Doors are cleaned out.
The Iranians sense weakness, they'll attack.
And it's his fault.
All of his fault.
To speak the truth in love.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Governor Cuomo doubles down. Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast.
I did not aggressively enough take on the misinformation. And that's what I regret. I'm not going to make that mistake again.
The embattled governor of New York on defense today as he continues to deflect criticism for the way he handled the COVID crisis at nursing homes. The governor says if he's guilty of anything, it's not being tough enough on his critics.
I'm not going to let you hurt New Yorkers by lying about what happened surrounding the death of a loved one. I see that as my job.
New evidence from the Empire Center for Public Policy suggests Cuomo may have directly caused the deaths of hundreds of people through his March 25th order that placed the sick with the healthy at nursing homes. In Albany, state lawmakers are demanding answers.
The public is now finding out that their governor is a fraud.
I think for many state legislators, we feel blindsided and betrayed.
Andrew Cuomo is unfit to continue his service as governor of the state of New York.
New York Congresswoman Nicole Meliotakis.
I don't see a situation where this doesn't end with his resignation or his prosecution or, at the very minimum, him being defeated at the ballot box next year.
Today, the New York Health Department recommended that nursing home visitations resume. Many families have not seen their loved ones in nursing homes in nearly a year in New York. Now to storm-wrecked Texas. It is struggling with food and water shortages, power problems. Problems from ice storms all week long have led to long lines at the grocery store.
No one's delivering. Stores are cleaned out.
Half the state, 13 million people have been told to boil their water. Homeowners in Texas dealing with flooding from burst water pipe.
Two-thirds of the ceiling was collapsed. There was sheetrock all over the floor and water was just gushing
out. The big rigs that deliver food have stopped shipments because they can't find gasoline. Celia Cole with the not-for-profit Feeding Texas expects to be very busy this weekend.
We know people are struggling to find food at the grocery store. We know people are going to have lost wages. People are facing, obviously, significant damage to their homes.
She says the best way you can help out is to give at feedingtexas.org.
This storm comes on top of an 11-month storm. We have been seeing 60% more people needing help from food banks during the pandemic. Food banks are distributing twice as much food as they usually do.
60 deaths blamed on this week's snow and ice storms in the deep south, and half of those deaths are in the state of Texas. The wicked weather's fouled up COVID vaccine deliveries all over America. White House coronavirus advisor Andy Slavitt says there's an effort to try and make up for lost time.
UPS and FedEx both will support Saturday deliveries tomorrow. We are working with the jurisdictions to see which ones are able to take Saturday delivery.
President Biden today toured the Pfizer facility in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where the first doses of COVID vaccine were shipped out about a month before he took office. Today, he took shots at his predecessor for not doing more to manage the pandemic.
My predecessor, as my mother would say, God love him, failed to order enough vaccines, failed to mobilize the effort to administer the shots. That changed the moment we took office.
Critics say Mr. Biden is rewriting history and that his predecessor deserves a lot of credit for Operation Warp Speed, which got the vaccine from the laboratory into people's arms. Inviting an outbreak? Critics warn President Biden's immigration policy threatens to unleash a COVID crisis at the southern border. Asylum seekers in Mexico started entering the U.S. today, 300 a day, being sent to California and Texas. Republicans Senator Lindsey Graham says this is a magnet for illegal immigration.
There are going to be caravan after caravan coming, and it's going to happen this summer.
And it's his fault?
All his fault.
Graham interviewed by Fox News. Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert says the president's immigration policy is especially troublesome in the middle of a pandemic.
That are going to expose more Americans, that are going to get more Americans sick. So apparently his America first doesn't mean the United States first. It means other places in North and South America.
New ICE rules, meantime, imposed by the White House will limit arrests of illegal immigrants at the border. ICE officers will now need pre-approval to detain certain individuals.
The open border strategies and the message is if you get to our country, you're going to be released into the interior United States and you're going to be protected from lawful deportation.
Former Customs and Border Control Commissioner Mark Morgan says these ICE reforms have created a sanctuary country for illegal immigration. 3,500 illegal immigrants cross into our country every day during the month of January. The Biden administration says it will restart stalled nuclear talks with Iran, the world's largest exporter of terrorism. State Department spokesman Nick Price.
The deal for us, it is a floor. It's not a ceiling. And we want to go beyond the 2015 deal, lengthen and strengthen it, and build on it.
Former President Trump withdrew us from the Iran nuclear deal, and for good reason, says former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman.
Iran is demanding that the United States lift the sanctions as a precursor to return to the negotiations, and it looks like the Biden administration is willing to do that. And if they do, then they will eliminate all the leverage that we would have gained over the past few years.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
The Iranians sense weakness, they'll attack. Under President Obama, they coddled the Iranian regime. They signed up for a deal that presented a pathway to a nuclear weapon. The Iranians will sense that that's the deal they can strike. They'll continue to inflict costs on the American people.
Iranian-backed militants attacked a U.S. military base in Iraq this week. A U.S. civilian was killed, 9 others injured. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report for a Friday, Darien Lake opens up. Is Amazon coming to Bath? And how Christians counter the cancel culture.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your family life weather forecast. Our call for tonight is for areas of lake snow that'll continue into tomorrow, accumulating several inches in localized areas southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a few flurries tonight, with a mix of sun and clouds and a few flurries tomorrow. Low temperatures in the 19s to near 20, the high tomorrow in the 20s to near 30. Sunday, a few early lake flurries, otherwise a fair amount of sunshine and a high temperature reaching to the mid-20s and low 30s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. We're checking the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania next. Six Flags Darien Lake in western New York will open May 21st. It's looking to fill 1,500 positions at its theme park, water park, hotel, and campground. All those who visit will be subject to daily temperature checks. You must also wear a face mask. The park will be operating at 33% capacity in keeping with COVID protocols. An Amazon distribution center may be landing soon in Bath, New York, Steuben County. The town board says the Mercury Aircraft Building could host such a facility. Bath Supervisor Ron Smith says this distribution center has the potential to create up to 250 jobs. A new poll ranks all 50 states on how effective they are at combating COVID, and New York State ranks second to last.
A recent study by Wallet Hub used 5 key metrics, including the rates of COVID-19 transmission, infection rate, hospitalization, death rate, and the percent of the eligible population able to receive the vaccine. Now, New York is considered to be one of the least safe states in the country, coming in at 49th, while Alaska is the safest and Ohio is the least safe. New York has the second highest positive testing rate, second highest transmission rate, highest hospitalization rate, the sixth lowest vaccination rate, and the 29th lowest death rate. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, Jeremy, thank you. A new study by GasBuddy.com predicts gasoline prices will soar past $3 a gallon by Memorial Day in Pennsylvania. It's expected to happen much sooner than that. Already, the average price at the pump in the Keystone State, $2.86 a gallon. It's gone up 10 cents a gallon since Monday. So how do Christians counter the cancel culture? It's a topic we discussed today on the Noon Report with Christian watchdogs Michael Gear and Jason McGuire.
You know, as I think about that question, one of the things I often remind people is to speak the truth in love, and you have to do both. Sometimes, and particularly in the social media amplification of that, we speak the truth maybe, but we don't always do it in love. Other times, there are people that just want to be all loving and all compassionate, but they're not speaking the truth. There are things that I can disagree with Christians on, disagree with the culture on, but there are other issues that are non-negotiables, and we have to note the difference and then speak the truth in love regarding those matters.
You know, I think of the French philosopher Voltaire, who said, I may disagree, and I'm paraphrasing here, Michael, I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And I've always said when it comes to the First Amendment, more speech is the answer, not less speech. But it does seem there is a real crackdown on free speech in this country, Michael. How do you counsel Christians to counter
the cancel culture?
Well, I think much of what Jason said is what I would echo. You know, number one, speaking the truth in love. And understanding also that you don't have to comment on everything that's out there. Social media kind of invites us to say things about whatever and to sort of be play-by-play of what's going on in the culture. And that can be fun, but it doesn't necessarily add to things. So part of it is being circumspect about who are the people we have relationships with? How do we speak into their lives and to have an influence there? But I have met and know some good friends who have been canceled out of their professions. A physician that I know, because of social media posts his family had made, not able to get a job in the profession that he is so skilled at. And that's a tragedy when you see that happening.
That is Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Your nightly market report is next. It is brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Family Life's Dave Margolotti has the closing numbers from Wall Street.
Stocks are mixed today with the Dow gaining 1 point, the NASDAQ adding 9, and the S&P 500 dropping 7. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Here's Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. The number of minutes of daylight is getting slightly longer with each passing day. At first, back in late December, just after the winter solstice, the extra daylight was hardly noticeable. But now that several weeks have passed, it's really noticeable. Where I live, the sun had been going down about 5:30 in the afternoon. Now it doesn't set until about 6:15. Making financial progress is a lot like that. When you set up a budget and start managing your spending better, progress seems almost imperceptible. But as the weeks and months go by, you'll start to realize things are a lot better than they used to be. Slow and steady progress is rarely exciting until you look back and realize how far you've come, bit by bit by bit.
Hey, need some help getting started with this? Well, connect with a MoneyWise coach at our website, which is moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
And then there were two. Australian Open final tonight.
Yeah, man. Jennifer Brady, by the way, had to quarantine for 14 days when she arrived at the Australian Open. There were 51 other singles players who endured the same hard quarantine. She's the only one to advance past the third round, and now, as impossible as it may seem, she's playing in the final at the Australian Open this morning at 3:30 against Naomi Osaka for a chance to win her first Grand Slam title. Jennifer Brady from Mechanicsburg,
yeah,
PA.
Go, girl.
Naomi, by the way, 3-0 in finals on a 20-match winning streak.
She's
also hot on the men's side, Novak Djokovic. He remained perfect in the Aussie semifinals, 9-0 all-time, seeking his record 9th Aussie title, 18th major championship. He'll take on Daniil Medvedev. The NCAA allowing a limited number of fans to attend all games for March Madness.
It's almost here.
All attendees must wear face coverings, and it's going to be, well, thorough cleaning, disinfecting, safety measures, the whole nine yards. Of course, the entire March Madness happening in Indiana. Most of the games in Indianapolis. Bob is on his way.
That's right. I'm getting the brackets all busted up for you.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the latest weather map, the disturbance that brought our area snow recently is moving away. Lake effect is ready to kick in, and they'll deliver several fresh inches of fluff to favored belt areas southeast of Lake Erie on Ontario, while the remainder of our region will be clearing out and sunshine will be returning. Our call for tonight is for areas of lake snow that'll continue into tomorrow, accumulating several inches in localized areas southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a few flurries tonight, with a mix of sun and clouds and a few flurries tomorrow. Low temperatures in the 19s to near 20, the high tomorrow in the 20s to near 30. Sunday, a few early lake flurries, otherwise a fair amount of sunshine and a high temperature reaching to the mid-20s and low 30s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much, and have yourself a wonderful weekend. Finally, five, deep space. Well, yesterday we took you to Mars. Today we'll take you a little further. New details are emerging about the first black hole ever discovered in our universe. Family Life's deep space explorer, Brandon Dixon, has more.
The extremely dense celestial phenomenon was discovered in the Milky Way in 1964. Now researchers in Australia, using data from radio telescopes, say it's much larger than expected and further away than previously thought. The black hole is 21 times the size of our sun, which is 50% more massive than originally believed, and about 6 trillion miles away from Earth. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Can't wrap my head around it. 6 trillion.
That's
I don't even know if the Star Trek Enterprise would be able to get that far. But, you know, think about the deep space, all that space, and one God created it all.
Amen.
The 5 O'Clock Report was sponsored in part by Phil Jones Seedway, farm partner of Artport, New York. They provide...